Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. The title to my sermon today is Joy Comes in the Morning. Okay. You know, we went to the memorial service of Matthew, and we went to the fellowship part of it before the actual memorial, where they actually got up and talked. But yesterday was Holden's graduation party. They were having it here, so we didn't really stay for the actual service yesterday. But I had told, I guess it was probably Sarah that I talked to when I called, you know, because I seen where Stan had left me three. I'd missed three of his calls. I'm kind of bad about not answering my phone sometimes, because I lay it down or I turn it down and forget to turn it up. And so if you don't get me, call Margaret. She always knows where I am. She can track me down if you ever need to talk to me about anything. But anyway, I noticed that, and I called back, and I had sent them a text message, you know, telling them how sorry we were about Matthew and all this and that. And I told them, I said, we just wanted to know the arrangements, and I said, so we could come and love on you guys and hug on you some. I said, we all need some hugs, you know, when something like this happens. And, you know, I'll have to say, you know, when we went in, you know, and walked in, and you know, I hugged Stan, and you know, I just held on to him, and he held on to me for a long time. And you know, he just said, oh, this is just breaking my heart. And you know, I could feel his pain, but I tell you what, he told me, he says, we're not giving up. I said, well, you know, you can't give up in them times, you know. And a lot of times, like I say, joy always comes in the morning. And it comes in the morning as the light of God begins to flow into your life more and more, and you begin to see that he was with you in all the good times and all the bad times. And he's that friend that sticks closer than a brother, and he's just always there to comfort your hearts anytime that anything happens, you know. And a lot of times he uses his people to do the comforting, you know. But they feel the presence of the Lord. And then I went up, and Margaret was talking to Linda, and I hugged Linda, and boy, she hugged me, and she hanged on for a long time too. And you know, all you can really tell people is that, you know, hey, we love you, and you know, we're just praying for you, and you know, and but they need that encouragement, they need that strength, you know, and we all need that. I'm going to share some scriptures with you today, and I'll probably do a little bit of talking in between the scriptures. But I think these scriptures are great, and I want you to listen to them. And in Matthew 5:4, it says this. And I'll pause for a word of prayer first. Father, in the name of Jesus, just have your way here today. Father, let your anointing go forth. And whoever needs to hear this message, let it minister to their hearts, and let it encourage and strengthen them. And Father, we'll be careful to give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor. In the name above all names, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Matthew 5:4 says this, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And you know, I'm like I say, God always comforts you. And you can't get no better comfort than what you get from him. I don't care what it is, but he is the ultimate comforter. Ecclesiastes 3:3-5 says this, there's a time to weep and a time to laugh. There's a time to mourn and a time to dance. There's a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. And Ecclesiastes 3:11 says this, he hath made everything beautiful in his time. Oh, that's a great scripture. I love that scripture. He's the one that makes it beautiful. And I'll read you the rest of it. He had made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he has set the world in their heart so that no man can find out the work that God makes from the beginning to the end. And you know, man can't find it out, but God can reveal it. And the beautiful thing is that he is revealing it and unfolding it to us as we go on to know him in greater depths, you know. And I don't know if I turned this on or not. I think I missed it. Okay. Praise the Lord. But anyway, I love those scriptures. Romans 8, 28 through 30 says this. And we know, and you know it's nice when you know something. And if you don't know this today, then pay attention and know it. We know everything, that all things work together for good of them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Great scripture. You know, a lot of people don't understand predestination. The predestination they're talking about is that beforehand, before you ever came into this world, God had a plan for you. God was going to reach out and get a hold of you at a certain time in your life. And like I told you, I think last week, I told you that, you know, that we think we choose him, but he really chooses us. He's the chooser. And he's the author and the finisher of our faith. And we have very little to do in it other than just acknowledge him and let him direct our paths, like I said to you last week. Isaiah 61, 3 and 4 says this. It says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And the reason that he did this is this, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. And why did he do that? That he might be glorified. And he shall build the old wastes, and he shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities and the desolations of many generations. Who's going to do that? You are. And what we need to do is ask the Lord on a daily basis, Father, what's my part in this? What do you want me to do today? It might be something very simple. It might be just going and giving somebody that's hurting a hug. It might be just maybe giving some money to somebody that's in real need or whatever it is. But I'm going to tell you what, you can be a restorer, and that's what we're called to be. Restorers. We're called to be reconcilers. We're called to be people who restore things back to God where they belong. And a lot of times people say, oh, what's my ministry? Don't ask God that too much. He'll send you out into it. And it might be something you didn't think he would send you to do, because a lot of times he puts you out there doing something that you didn't really feel like you were equipped to do. You know, if anybody had told me years ago that I would be given definitions of words and explaining that kind of, you know, the Greek and Hebrew to people and all that stuff, I'd have thought, oh, my God, that's never going to happen, because I have a hard time spelling some of them words, much less telling somebody the definition of them. But you know what? He chooses the foolish to confound the wise. He chooses the weak to bring to naught the strong. And I'm going to tell you what, and what the scripture said, let the weak say what? I am strong. And you know why you're strong? Because of his presence in your life. It's not by anything that has to do with you. It's all about what he is inside of you. Praise God. And the next thing says here, in Isaiah 61, 9 and 11, it says, and their seed, hello seed, that's you he's talking about. And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed of which the Lord hath blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garment of salvation. You know, we used to sing that song all the time. I have put on my garment of praise, and the spirit of heaviness shall fall from me. I have put on my garment of praise. You know, if you ever feel, sometimes you feel in life, you feel kind of naked at certain days. You just feel like, Lord, I just don't have anything today. I just don't feel your presence, or I just don't feel encouraged today. You know what you do? You put on the garment of praise. You start praising him in any way. You start praising him and not listening to your feelings and start praising him anyway. And all of a sudden, that garment of praise will come upon you. And boy, when it comes upon you, the spirit of heaviness shall fall from you as you put on that garment of praise. And it says, Lord, my soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with a garment of salvation, and he has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorned herself with her jewels. For the earth bringeth forth her bud, as a garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth. So the Lord will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all nations. All nations. Your part in doing all of this is to begin to just praise the Lord. Begin to just magnify him. Begin to let him move and flow through your life. And I'm going to tell you what, even if you walk around, and I tell you, sometimes I get in the same positions that you all do. At times I get a little bit depressed or a little bit wore out or a little bit this or that. But I'm going to tell you what, if I'm doing what I should be doing, I have to shake myself and say, Lord, I'm going to praise you in spite of this. Lord, I'm going to thank you in spite of this. Isaiah 42, 5 through 9 says this. Thus saith the Lord, God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth, that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it and spirit to them that walk therein. Remember what was we saying, Wally? You are the breath that I breathe. You are the air that I breathe, all that. That's him. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness and will uphold thy hand and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people for the light of the Gentiles. You know who the Gentiles are? Everybody don't know Jesus Christ. That's who the Gentiles are. You know, a lot of people say, well, that's just the non-Jews. No. There's Jews that are Gentiles because they don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. It says to open the eyes to bring out of prison the prisoners from the prison and them that sat in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. When he said, I'll not give my glory to another, you're not another. You're part of him. You were born again of the incorruptible seed of the word of God. You're as much a part of him as his hand was when they drove the nails in it. You're much as much a part of him because you're the body of Christ. Praise God. And it says, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. He said, Father, the glory that you've given to me, I've given it to who? Hello, them. Hello, them. That's you. Hello, them. Praise God. It says, behold, the former things are come to pass, and the new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I will tell you of them. You know, it's time for God to start telling us of them, the things that are going to come to pass. And he does tell us in his word, but he's going to start bringing greater revelation more and more and more to us as we follow on to know him, you know. Okay, in Isaiah 61, 6 through 7, but you shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. For your shame you shall have double. He's going to pour out a double portion. Jesus said, these works that I do shall you do, and greater works than these. Just like Elisha followed Elijah around, and he kept following him, and kept following him, and kept following him. And Elijah was trying to get away from him because he knew the Lord was going to take him. And he kept saying, finally he said to him, what are you doing? He said, go over there. No, not so, Master. I'm going to stay right with you, he said. You know why? He knew that something big was about to happen. He knew that something miraculous was about to happen. And then finally Elijah said to Elisha, he says, okay, what do you want? He said, Master, I want a double portion of your ministry. And he said, well, if you see me when I'm taken up, because he knew he was going to be taken up. God was going to take him up. He said, if you see me when I'm taken up, he said, and you shall have it. And buddy, he stuck with him like glue. You talk about following someone around like a puppy dog. He was doing it. And he saw that chariots of fire came down, and Elijah got on it, and he was taken up into heaven. And as he was taken up into heaven, his mantle that he had wrapped himself in fell off of him and fell down onto Elisha. And I'm going to tell you what, if you look at the miracles that Elijah did, he did some great things. But you look at the miracles that Elisha did, he did some greater things. And I'm going to tell you what, when Jesus said, the glory that you've given to me, Father, I've given it to them. Now glorify me with the glory I had with you before the world was. We haven't seen the greater works yet, but we're going to see them. And they're going to be way beyond even what Jesus did when he walked on the earth. Because you know what? Because he's going to do it through a many-membered body. Jesus was over in Jerusalem, and people would hear about what was happening with Jesus, and you know what they'd do? They came looking for him. And one time, some people from Greece or someplace come up to some of the disciples and said, we would see Jesus. And they came and they told Jesus, they said, they're coming asking about you, Master. I mean, let's face it, there was no radio back then. There was no television. Buddy, it got noised abroad what Jesus was doing. And I tell you what, they started coming from other countries and other places to they wanted to see this thing. They wanted to get in on it. And you know what? What did Jesus say? He said, the hour has now come when the Son of Man must be glorified. Because he knew that it was time for him to go to the cross. That he would set creation free. And that when he set creation free, we would be born again of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. And that mantle that was on him would begin to rise up inside of us. And I'm not going to say fall on you. I'm going to say rise up inside of you. Because the mystery that's been hidden from past generations and past times is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And you know what? That Christ in you is nothing less than what was in Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you what, it can lead and guide you into all truth. It can give you the power and the authority to cast out demons, to raise the dead, to heal the sick, to do anything that God wants to do through you. Now, if you start jumping out trying to do that stuff on your own without God telling you, guess what? You'll walk away with your tail dragging between your legs. But if God tells you to do it, you be obedient and you do it and you watch what happens. I love that story that Clarice Fluid told about when she was invited to this seminar or whatever it was, and she didn't know it was all men, and it was all future ministers, see? She didn't know that. And at that time, she was still under the impression that a woman couldn't minister to a man, that women were less than, and you're not less than, okay? And anyway... the head guy was a big, heavy guy. And he said to her, he told her, I want you to be like the keynote speaker tonight, you know. And she was kind of pulling back, you know, because, hey, she was a woman, you know. I'm going to tell you what, don't let anything hold you back when God opens a door. You walk through that door, you walk through with authority and power, and you speak his word, whatever he tells you to speak. And you know what she did? She got ready to get up there and speak, and all of a sudden the pastor that was overseeing the whole thing, the heavy guy, he fell over and died. Fell right on the platform and died. If I fall over and die on the platform, you guys get up here and begin to rebuke that death on me, you hear? And she stood there and she said, all the different ministers, there was a bunch of different ministers up there because they were getting ready to anoint these guys to go out and be ministers, see? And she said, all the big name ministers went over and looked at the guy and touched him and did stuff and said, they pronounced him dead. They all did. The paramedics came and they pronounced him dead. And she said, the Spirit of God spoke to her and said, go over there and raise him up. And she said, I thought, oh, how can I do that? I said, go over there and raise him up. And then she said, the Spirit of God said, and act like you've done it before.
Yes, amen.
I love that. Act like you've done it before. You don't have to be afraid. And she said, I went over there and I rebuked the spirit of death. And she said, he coughed and got up, you know, and God brought him back. She said, I never got so many invitations to come and speak at people's churches in my life. And she said, and the Lord told me, you can't go to any of them.
Amen.
No, you can't go to any of them. You know why? Because they were lifting her up,
yes,
not lifting him up. And I'm going to tell you what, we've had a lot of people that's had tremendous ministries, and they've gotten lifted and elevated in life to where people just look at them and they just talk about how wonderful they are and how great their ministries are. I'm going to tell you, there was an old brother who had a prophetic ministry, and Brother Eddie used to talk about him, and I don't remember the guy's name. I think it was Cain, something Cain. And he said that the Lord was going to raise up a faceless people. You know what he meant by that? They ain't going to be looking at this. It ain't going to be about you. It's going to be about him. And he's going to get the glory. That's where the glory resides, in him, and it's in you. But he's going to get the glory. And I tell you what, I believe they talked about Paul Cain was kind of young when the first anointing got on him. And he was prophesying to people and stuff. And they said some of the people were hiding under the piano and everything else because the Lord was really moving really mightily. And I tell you what, you know, it's nice when God moves in prophetic word to encourage and to build you up. But there are some times when he's going to move in such a way, just like he did with Jesus. When he saw Nathanael, he said, come and follow me. He said, I saw you when you was under the sycamore tree or whatever it was. Now, we don't know what Nathanael was doing. He might have been praying. He might have been doing something really bad under that sycamore tree. But Jesus said, come and follow me. And, buddy, he knew that that was God speaking to him. And guess what he did? He got up and followed the Lord. And I'm going to tell you what, those kind of days, they're coming back, folks. They're coming back. Now, I don't know if we're going to live to see them. I don't know. I mean, I'm getting kind of old. I know I don't look that old, I think, when I look in the mirror. But, you know, we all have magic mirrors. When we look in the mirror, we think, you don't look too bad today. And somebody else is thinking, boy, you really went downhill since the last time I saw you. But you know, the neat thing about it is the Lord, he's moving. He's moving. He's going to move mightily in this day, in this age. We're coming into that new day. The day's dawning. The day's dawning. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Okay, my next scripture here is Acts 5, 14 through 18. Simon, that's Peter, has declared how that God at first did visit the Gentiles. And guess what? To take out a people for his name. And when he's taking out a people for his name, when me and Margaret got married, her name was Margaret Ellen Scott, you know. And my name was just Oscar Bowling. And they called me Junior because I was a junior when my dad was alive. And when he died, when I was four, I really wasn't a junior anymore. I really was Oscar Senior then. But they got used to calling me Junior, so people in my family all called me Junior, you know. But let me tell you what, when me and Margaret got married and we signed that wedding certificate, you know, with our names was on that wedding certificate, and Brother Eddie did that sermon, that thing for us, he married us. He actually married us a second time. We got married the first time. I hate to tell you that story. Oh, it was a fiasco. We didn't know where the church was. I couldn't find a church. I was an hour late. It was just unbelievable. You know, Margaret's sister said to you, "You think he's not coming? You think he's not coming?" Mark said, "Oh, he'll be here. He'll be here." As a warning, she didn't hit me over the head when I walked into church. But it wasn't my fault because I followed the directions her sister gave. Never let Margaret's sister give you directions. I'd never been at this church before. And I drove by it three or four times, and the sign was behind a tree, and I didn't see it, you know. And besides that, my brother had wrecked his car earlier that day and wanted me to come down and help him pick him up. And I got down there, and he was wanting to take his mag wheels off his car. He totaled his car and all that stuff. And I'm saying, "Buddy, I'm getting married in a little time. I ain't got no time for this. Oh, I got to take them off here. Somebody will steal my wheels." So it was a total fiasco, total. But you know what? I got a great prize that day. I really did. Great prize. But anyway, and Brother Eddie did our sermon for us after 25 years. Now, that was a nice one. We had a nice reception. I think the reception that we had there was nothing. And I think me and Margaret's first dinner was at the Country Kitchen in Elmwood. Anybody that's ever been over in Elmwood, you'd know where the Country Kitchen is. It's not there anymore. But we had went to Imperial House Motel up off of 75. That's where we spent our honeymoon night. We didn't have no money. I was broke. I didn't have no money. I was working, but I wasn't making no money or anything. We spent our night there, and they were having some big convention there, and we were kind of afraid to go out because I'm not because of who it was, but because of what they were representing it. It was some kind of black Muslim convention there or something. And we just didn't know. I mean, people were running up down the halls making noise and all this stuff. And we had a door to get to the outside. So when we went out to eat our dinner for our honeymoon dinner, we drove down Vine Street and got to Elmwood, and we ate at the Country Kitchen. But I'll tell you later on when Brother Eddie did that second one after 25 years, we went all out. We got nice cake and all kinds of stuff and had a big party at the farm over in over in Delhi and all that stuff. But you know what? That's the thing. See, you know, we've been born again of the incorruptible seed of God, and God's about to do some wonderful things. And let's read it again. Simon hath declared now God at first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And like I say, the day that they said the I do's, Margaret's last name changed. It changed from Scott to Bowling. And then she had to go get her license changed. She got added onto any kind of bank accounts I had, any of the titles to the car I had. I didn't have cars then. I had a car that was probably about on its last leg. And, you know, her name went on the title for the car. And all of a sudden, everything that was mine was hers also. And, you know, that's the beauty of when you get married. The two become one. That's what you say partially in and become one flesh. And what's part of what you say sometimes? What God has joined together, let not man put asunder. And you know, God has invited us to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And I got news for you. That marriage supper of the Lamb is going to be a big feast. It's going to be an agape feast. It's going to be a feast of the love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, the gentleness, the meekness, the temperance, the faith. It's going to be a feast of all of those things, the fruits of the Spirit. And boy, it's going to be wonderful. And I tell you what, he's already invited us to that, you know. Praise God. And the next verse says, and to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, after this I will return again and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up. You know who the builder is? God. He's the one that's going to do it. He might do it through you or through me, but he's the one that's going to do it. He's the one that's going to accomplish. That the residue of men might seek after the Lord and all the Gentiles upon whom his name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. I like, because you know, who does them? He does all these things. Praise God. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. One more scripture. Romans 11, 25 through 32. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of the mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel because of the fullness of the Gentiles to come in. And so all Israel, I'm going to tell you what, the whole Jewish nation, this is going to happen, but it's going to happen to all the world out there, because when he died on Calvary, he died for the sins of the what world? The whole world. What's the whole? That's all of it. Praise God. And he says, blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, and also all Israel shall be saved, as is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Do you know there's another scripture that says, I saw saviors. And that's plural, not singular. I saw saviors standing upon Mount Zion. And you know who them saviors are? It's you. Standing in his nature, in his name, in his presence, you know, with the same character. And that's who's going to turn away ungodliness. So the very Gentiles that the Jews thought was the enemies of God are going to be the ones who bring them to total salvation. Praise God. Okay. And he said also, and so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written. There shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and he shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. For the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. As for you, in times past you have believed God, yet have now obtained the mercy through their unbelief. Even so, have these also now believed that through your mercy they also might obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief that he might have mercy upon, very important, that word should be underlined, all, not some, not a few, not just certain people, but mercy upon all. The Gentiles shall see thy righteousness and all the kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Wow. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be desolate, but thou shalt be called Herzebah. And Herzebah means my husband. And I shall be called Herzebah, and thy land Beulah. A lot of people say, oh, Beulah land. You know, they sing that song. And they think it's going to a place. You know what Beulah means? It means married. Married. Thy land shall be called married. You know, if you go out into some of these fields out here and the farmer has just plowed them up, they're desolate. They're nothing but just dirt there. They're desolate. But boy, when he gets his old tractor out there and he gets that spreader that all of a sudden starts spreading the seed, then you know what he's doing? He's marrying that land. He's marrying it with the seed. God has married your land with his seed. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And he's married that seed of the word of God in your land. And it's going to bring forth 100-fold, 60-fold, and 30-fold. I don't know about you, but I want to be part of that 100-fold. But it's okay if you're part of the 60-fold. It's okay if you're part of the 30-fold. Because you know what the 100-fold is going to do? It's going to want to take the other folds and bring them up to the 100-fold. It's not going to act like it's superior in any way. It's going to love them. It's going to want to bring total salvation, total revelation of the knowledge of God to them, and everything else. And it says, the rest of this says, for as a young man marries a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. Marry who? God. The sons of God are going to marry Jesus, but they're also going to go back and marry the church, because the church needs to be married. She needs to come to the full revelation of who God is and what he is, and quit all this silliness that they're putting out there at times, all of this stuff that's the traditions of the elders making the word of God of no effect. Thy son shall marry thee, and the bridegroom rejoice over the bride, so shall God rejoice over thee. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem. Let me tell you what. There's a scripture that talks about New Jerusalem coming down from above, which is the mother of us all. And I got news for you. Jerusalem is the city of God. And in Revelation, he said, I saw Jerusalem adorned as a bride for her husband. And you know, the word Jerusalem, if you break it down in the Greek or whatever, what you'll find it means is it means to point, to show forth, to teach Salem how to be at peace. And a lot of people say, I've heard people say about Brother Oscar, that Brother Oscar's a teacher, not a preacher. That's okay. You can call me a teacher all you want. You know what I want to do? I want to teach you how to come forth, how to grow up, how to become all that God has called you to do. And I can't do it. The Holy Spirit can do it through me. But I'm perfectly satisfied being called a teacher. You know? They called Jesus Rabbi. You know what rabbi means? Teacher. And you know what he did? He taught them about himself and about the Father. And I'm going to tell you what. Let's go on a little farther, and it says, and he set watchmen upon the walls, O Jerusalem, and I'll be done in a few minutes here, which shall never hold their peace, day or night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silent. Then it says, and give him no rest till he establish and till he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. The Lord hath sworn by his right hand and by his arm of his strength. Surely I will no more give thy corn to be meat for thy enemies, and the sons of strangers shall no more drink thy wine, for they shall that thou hast labored. But they shall have gathered, it shall eat it, and the praise of the Lord, and they that have brought it together shall drink it in the courts of my holiness. Go through the gates, prepare you the way of the Lord, cast up the highways, gather out the stones, lift up the standard of people. You know, when it says go through the gates, in Revelations back there, in the last chapters of Revelations, he talks about seeing a city, which is New Jerusalem, coming down from above. And people talk about that being heaven. It's not really heaven. It's a people getting out of the heavenlies. Everybody wants to go to heaven until they get sick. Ain't that right? Get the doctor. I'm sick. Hurry. If you want to go to heaven, just don't get the doctor. You'll get there quicker. It's all right to go to heaven. There's nothing wrong with going to heaven, going into the heavenly realms. That's fine. But I'm going to tell you what, there's coming a time when Jerusalem's going to come down from above, which is the mother of us all. And I'm going to tell you, sometime I'll share this whole message with you, but when it comes down, there's 12 gates into the city. And it's built on the foundation of the 12 tribes of Israel. And the names of the gates, you know, the names of the gates have certain names. And I sometimes I'll share that message with you, but I'm not going to share right now. But anyway, what it says there is the gates of the city are open day and night. And there is no night. I like it says that. There is no night. There's only the light of God. And he said, and I looked therein, John said. And when I looked therein, guess what he saw? He said, I saw no temple in there. Now, wait a minute. Doesn't the scripture say, know you not that you're the temple of God? Doesn't it say that? You're lively stones built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Doesn't it say that? Yes, it does. If you don't, I'm telling you, it does. Read it and read the word and you'll see where it says that. He said, I saw no temple therein. But what he did see was God Almighty and the Lamb. And that word for Lamb is the word lambkin. So I'm going to tell you what he saw when he looked in there. He saw the Lamb and his kin. That's you. In the middle of the city. And when he said, I'll give you, there's another place in Scripture where he said, I'll give you a name better than that of sons. There's only one name better than that of son. You know what that name is? That's the Father's name. But when you come to realize that Jesus told them, when the disciples, I think it was Thomas, I always want to say it's Thomas, but I'm not sure if it was. But Thomas said to him, he said, Lord, show us the Father, and it'll be sufficient. And what did Jesus say? Have I been with you so long, and you never knew me? Don't you realize? He basically was saying, I am the Father. You know, that's why he could say, I am. Because what? Because he had the Spirit without measure. At this point in time, we have it in part. We haven't come into the total fullness of the thing yet. We haven't come into the total reality of realizing that we have the fullness of him. Because there's a scripture that says, know you not that you are complete in him. And the word complete there is a word that means you are a full-aged man in him. But that's why we have to remember that in him we live and move and have our being. And as long as we don't think we're living and moving and having our being in him, guess what? We're not. We have to come to that realization and start believing that. And when we do, the fullness of God will begin to come forth in us in his time. He's the one who's going to do all this. It ain't you. It's him. But our part of it is believing. Praise God. Okay, I'm going to read just a little bit more and I'll be done. Okay, I'm sorry this is taking a long time. It said, the Lord has sworn by his right hand and by his arm and his strength, surely I will no more give the corn, the meat of thy enemies, thy sons and strangers shall not drink thy wine. For they that have labored, but they have gathered all to eat it and praise the Lord, and they have brought it together, shall drink it in the courts of my holiness. Go you through the gates, prepare the way of the people, cast up the highway, gather out the stones, lift up the standard for the people. When these are all types and shadows here. Remember when Jesus was coming into Jerusalem in the natural? And they started hollering, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. And you know what that means? It means, oh, praise, oh, save is what it means. Oh, save. Hosanna means, oh, save. In the highest, if you look at the Greek words in there, what it actually means is lift me up. Lift me up into your highest. Wow, praise God. What did Jesus say? He said, Master, tell them to hold their peace. What did he say? He said, surely if they don't do this, the rocks will cry out. Hello, rocks. That's you. You're lively stones. You're built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. You're the rocks. You're all of these things that are mentioned in there. Praise God. Okay, I only got a little bit more here and I'm done. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world, say, daughters of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him. His work is before him. And he shall call them the holy people. Jesus said, be you holy as my Father in heaven is holy. Holy people, that's you. The redeemed of the Lord, that's you. And thou shalt be called sought out. He sought you out. You didn't seek him out. He sought you out. A city not forsaken. You're that New Jerusalem. You're not forsaken. Then it says in Acts 15:17, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. So if you find yourselves groaning and travailing in life, and you will. Scripture says the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be what? Compared with the glory that shall be revealed, where at? In you, not to you, in you. Praise God. Romans 8:22-25. For we know that the whole of creation travaileth in pain together until now. Not only they, but ourselves also, which had the first fruits of the Spirit, even as we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but the hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for it? If you got it all now, you don't have to hope for it. You got most of it, and you're going to get more of it, see? But if we hope for what we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Last scripture here. Sing unto the Lord, O you saints of his. Give thanks. This is Psalm 34:5. Sing unto the Lord, all you saints, all you saints, his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endures for a moment, but his favor is life. Weeping may endure for the night. And you might find yourself crying sometimes. God, I failed you today. I tried, but I just didn't quite make it today. You know, you find yourself crying sometimes. I've found myself crying many times over the years just thinking, oh, God, I sure missed you today. I messed up today, or I did this, or I said this, or whatever I did, you know. But I love this other part. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. Praise God. All right, that's all I had to share with you today. I know that's a lot of scriptures, but they tell a story. And that story is your story. It's God's story, but it's his story in you. And if you all stand, we'll close in a word of prayer. Praise God. Praise the Lord. And I ask you, if you're smart, get this CD and listen to it. And let it sink down in you, because it's telling you, and if you don't want to get a CD, go to our webpage, Wings Christian Fellowship, and tap on sermons and find the sermon that says Joy Comes in the Morning, and listen to it until it sinks down inside of you and you start believing everything that I just said to you. Because I tell you what, when we start believing it, we'll start receiving it. If you don't believe it, you won't receive it. Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I give you all praise, all glory, all honor for this word, because your words are truly spirit and life. And I thank you for this word, and I ask you to just let this word sink down inside of your body, your people, that when they hear it, that the depths of their heart, they'll begin to rejoice and know that you're doing a marvelous work. And it's all about what you're doing in them. It's not so much about what they're doing. It's what you're doing. And all we have to do is to follow on to know you. And your going forth will be as the morning. And Father, I just praise you and give you all glory. In the name above all names, in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And God bless you all. If anybody